Improve your success by pursuing the right projects. Hey there, elite contractors. Glad to have you here on another episode of the Contracting Coachcast, your place to find ideas, tips, and knowledge to help you take your contracting career or business to the next level. I'm Tony Booth, your host and founder of ContractingCoach.com, where you can find this Coachcast along with other great tools and resources to help you build a prosperous contracting business or career. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in on this Tuesday, June 11th. And continuing on from last week, if you remember, last week we talked about pursuing and chasing after the right client, the client that fits our organization, our specialties, our way of doing business, right? So that we're fitting into our wheelhouse, as they say. So as I mentioned last week, I would dig in a little deeper into the project. This goes back to, you know, like I always tell everybody, there's no silver bullet out there, right? Like anybody that's going to tell you that they can put you into a 4-hour class and teach you how to be successful in contracting just like that, they're full of it. They might improve you. They might be able to teach you some ways to get better, but there is no, you know, there's no secret magic bullet that's going to make this contracting thing flip on a dime and be super easy. The best thing I can tell you, my recipe for success that I follow, is putting the right people with the right tools on the right project, working for the right client. So when you put those three things together, people, project, and client, all of them being the right things, okay, then you have a formula that works for success, right? Now, each one of those things has their own little requirements and their own little nuances, right? Some, you may have a phenomenal project manager that works for you that can do excellent on commercial hotel work. But if he was to go do a government job, he might fall flat on his face. Doesn't make him a bad project manager. It's just not the right project for them. Okay. So that's what the success, that my little success formula is all about, is the right people, you know, so that they have the skills and the tools to perform the right project. And then we always want to make sure we're working with the right client. So today we were going to go through that. I wanted to talk about choosing the right projects, because we can go out there and we can find that there are, you know, this ideal client. We had that, you know, even some of the clients I had for years, there was certain projects that weren't right for me. And I would have to tell them, that's not the right project for me. Sometimes they were too large. Sometimes they were too complex. You know, it just depends. You know, I had clients that I worked with all the time. And when those projects got too big, I knew it would stretch my resources and put too much on me. So I would tell them, that's not the right job for me. You need to hire someone else. So it's all about finding that right project is what we're going to talk about today. And I felt, you know, I can go through this and talk about it, but I thought the best way for me to explain it to everybody is I'm going to go through it. You'll be able to understand what I'm talking about right from here. But as I'm doing it, I'm going to kind of walk through the template that I have on the website called the Yes, No, Maybe template. Okay. So if you go to contractingcoach.com under resources, you'll find a link there that'll take you to the Yes, No, Maybe template, and also the example that has it filled out. And basically this is a template that I put together that allows you to kind of rate yourself and your capabilities as your project, you know, as your team, or what you're capable of doing. So we kind of go through this template and we look at it and outline, you know, again, the same as we did with choosing the right clients, we want to outline what our capabilities and skills are, and then we identify a rating system for those. So again, you know, without the template in front of you, some of this may not make sense, but it's easy enough that when you do look at the template, or if you understand what I'm talking about, you'll see how this all works. So the idea is, you know, you kind of rate yourself, and then when a project comes in that you're looking at, that you're, trying to decide whether it's a project worth pursuing, you can go in and actually using this template, you can check off the boxes associated with each, you know, kind of criteria that we're reviewing, and it will give the project a score. And from that score, we can determine how well of a fit it is. So to go through it so that you don't have to use my template, I'm going to talk about each topic that the template looks at. You'll understand that some of this is a little bit similar to last week, but now we're drilling down into the project level because last week we talked a little bit about contract types and things like that. And you may have a client that, does most of their work in a contract vehicle that suits you, but then they may have a special project that doesn't suit you. Okay. We had some projects come up with some of my clients where they were looking for someone to do design build. And at that time I wasn't a design build contractor, so I had to pass. So that's the whole key here is that's the point of this. So we're going to walk through that. I'm going to talk about each of the main topics that we look at and why that's important. So the first one is the project type, right? What type of project is it? And again, this goes back to the things we talked about last week a little bit. And you'll see on the example, I have retail, light commercial, warehouse, restaurant, office, education. So in the project type, you're going to determine, you know, what project types suit my company. And when you look at that, you're going to rate those. And so you'll see in the example, there's a rating for the ones that we're good at of a 10, and then it goes down from there. The things that we're not as good at, the value goes down. Okay, so it's just looking at that project type and determining what's the right project type for me and giving it a rating of 1 to 10. And then that way, when you select the type of project, it will give that score. And in the example, you'll see I've checked off warehouse, which is a project type that this sample company is good at. It's one of their, you know, that's in their wheelhouse, so it gets 10 points. The next section that we look at is project size or contract size. This is important as well. There is a sweet spot for every company that's the right project size for you. And, you know, the bigger the project, the more stuff you have to be, you know, the more it's going to take, the more resources it's going to take, and the more effort and possibly bodies that need to be engaged. The lower the price of the contract, you know, maybe you can say the risk isn't as high, but I say it's pretty high too, because you have less of a chance to make something up, right? So anyway, you're going to look at project size. And in the example here, I've broken out ranges. You know, if the contract's less than 500K, 500K to 2 million, 2 to 5, right? You can break out any type of project size that's right for you, but you have a sweet spot. And so in the example here, you'll see that I kind of outlined their sweet spot between 2 to 10 million. Probably a little big for an example, but anyway. But you know for you that you have a sweet spot. Even if you're a one-off residential contractor, right, direct to consumer, you know, if you're doing $75,000 to $150,000 kitchen remodels today, jumping into a $250,000 kitchen remodel tomorrow is probably not in your wheelhouse yet. So I wouldn't give that the top rating. Not saying I wouldn't go for it, but if I'm rating the project to see if it's right for me, I'm going to give that a little lower. So in that instance, 175 or 150 might be a score of 10, and 250 might be a score of 7. Okay. So the thing here is the numbers that the contract sizes that aren't in your wheelhouse, you just score them a little lower so that we can determine at the end of the day whether it's the right project. Because going for that larger $250,000 project, while that's not a problem, okay, what I don't want to do is do that when at the same time it's a new project type, it's in a location that I'm not used to working on, and it's got a contract that doesn't suit me, right? I don't want three strikes against me going after the first time that I'm going to go after a larger project. So that's what this is all about, is looking at that. So we got project type, project size. The next thing on the list here that we look at is project location. So you have an area that you work. You have an area that fits your geographical capabilities. Some of us can travel a lot further, depending on the level of equipment and your manpower and how mobile you are. You might be able to travel to multiple states. You might be able to travel to multiple cities, you know, or you might have to stay within a 50-mile radius. So the idea there is list out some of the locations, because obviously a project that's 10 miles from your main office is going to score higher in a rating than a project that's 100 miles from your main office. So we'll look at that, and you'll see in the example I give some cities kind of in my area, the kind of the main cities, big cities that may be something that, you know, somebody in the North Florida, Southeast Georgia region may be looking at. And I kind of give them a rating based on, you know, kind of the proximity of what's going on, you know, of the main office. Okay. So that's your project location that we want to look at and give that rating. The next thing you'll see is the owner client type. This is what we talked about last week, finding those right clients, those owner types. And we have skills for different ones. Like I said in the beginning about the project manager, he might be great at doing commercial work, but doesn't understand all the intricacies of dealing with a government project. So the same, so we need to rate our project based on that and rate our company. This is where if you did your exercises last week and you know your client types, then this one should be pretty easy for you to fill out. You know what you're good at. When I look back at my stuff in the past, as a site contractor, I was very good at government work, as long as it was small. I was good at commercial work. I was mediocre with developers because I just didn't work the way they wanted me to. And I didn't like the residential. So, you know, government work would have scored a 10. Small commercial projects would have scored a 10. Developers probably an 8, 7, maybe even a 6, you know. But the idea here is we want to make sure, are we with the right client type? And there'll be times, you know, like I said earlier, that we're going to go outside of what's, you know, the best for us. But the thing we don't want to do is have that multiple hit. Okay, so that's the owner client type. And then we get to contract type. So when you look at contract types, you know, the typical things we're going to see are lump sums, unit price contracts. You may have a design build contract, a construction manager at risk, construction manager as an agent, a cost plus. And again, each of those contract types, okay, have different risk levels with them. And they also have different requirements and skill sets in order to be successful at them. If you are not familiar or good at doing design build, you wouldn't rate that so high. You know, unit price is the same way. I did a huge amount of unit price work, you know, in my early days, and it was good. But it takes a certain skill set to do that, because you better be tracking every unit, because you can't rely on the owner to make sure he's paying you, right? So that's the thing there. Contract types, we want to look at that, make sure that the contract type fits us properly. Then the other box you'll see on there is the bid type. This is where I kind of look at here. how are they taking their bids? Is this a, you know, low bid, open public reading to everybody, and whoever's low bid wins? Is there a qualification that goes with it? Is there maybe a short list where they, you know, took it down to five bidders, so I'm in a better position? Or is it a negotiated contract where I'm going to, me along with three or four other people are going to submit a price, but ultimately we're going to sit and negotiate with the owner on that final price. And each of those, we have our own ups and downs and good or bad at it. You know, my unit price work back in the day was all rip and read, open, low bid work. So in that scenario, I would have rated my capabilities in that bid type to be relatively high, maybe an 8. Was it my ideal? No, I preferred the negotiated work, but I knew that, you know, probably 40% of my work came from open, rip and read projects, just the way it was. We were good at them, made money at them, but they weren't our ideal. Under the bid type as well, you'll see the bid field. This is something that kind of helps in determining if you want to go after a project. If you have some bad hits on it and you realize that there's, you know, going to be 12 other of our favorite friends showing up at the same bid, is it really worth our time? Okay. So we look at the bid type and the bid field. And then when you get to the bottom, you'll see a few things there. On the left side of there is timing. So every time I'm looking at a bid to look at a project, I'm going to ask myself these following questions. And these are all related to the timing of the project, when it's going to be performed. Is the right crew going to be available? Are the right resources available? How about cash flow? Do we have cash flow? And is the schedule acceptable? Because we need to make sure. Might fit every other criteria, but all of a sudden they want us done in 3 months when it should take 6. So those are just some things to trigger some questions. I give all those a 10. If it's a yes, it gets 10 points. If it's a no, it gets none. Okay. And then there's the last bit is a few additional considerations. And that's really related to kind of the growth and the client, right? If it's a repeat client, obviously it's going to score higher. If it's a target client, I want to give it a couple bonus points. And if it's a project type that I'm trying to learn or a target region that I'm trying to get into, I may give it some bonus points. Okay. So it's just a way to go through, kind of put a rank together of the project. And then when you get to the bottom of my little scoring sheet here, you'll see it comes out with a project rating. And that project rating is what we use to determine, is this a good project for us? And if it doesn't score high enough, then we have to go back and think about it and really decide, is it something worth our time or not? If it scores high, then we jump all in, we go after it, we go win the project. Okay, so take a look at that. I think it's a great tool. You don't have to use the, you know, maybe you don't need the exact tool. Maybe you can do this real simple back of a napkin style. But if you at least take the time, run over to the website, download that yes, no, maybe Excel spreadsheet, it'll at least give you an idea of how to, when that project comes across your desk, how to sort it out and decide, is this really the right project for me? Because remember, for elite contractors, our success formula is the right people on the right projects for the right clients. That's it for today, folks. Thanks so much for tuning in. Everybody have an amazing day. Stop waiting. Start building.